This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. What a weekend it was. Game 7's galore from wall to wall. And I got to say, Bart Scott, hockey did it the right way. I don't know how the NBA games were quite as compelling, but we had some unbelievable finishes, including the two overtimes yesterday. The Rangers winning in overtime. What epic comeback again for them. And then the Calgary Flames. Now we've got, the Stars goalie stood on his head.
Yeah.
The Flames score in overtime. Great call by Bob with shoes, and we'll play it for you a little bit later on. And, like, now you get set up for a second round. People don't know this. The Flames and the Oilers, it's Alberta, the Battle of Alberta. Two teams that hate each other. If you really aren't into hockey, but you love rivalries and just, you know, this is Ravens Steelers, man. Like seriously, like this is like it doesn't get better than that. Just tune into that, sit back and watch the mayhem, because that series is going to be a lot of fun.
And the good thing is, because of these game sevens and series is going to the wire, hockey has been put into the mainstream where guys like me and other guys that may not, you know, that parachute in. Turning the channel. Like, I was there when Panarin scored the game-winning goal. Right? I'm excited. Oh, yeah. I was right there, ready to go, man. I like that the Mets – see, this is what I like, too. I like that the Rangers are galvanizing New York sports. It doesn't matter. Because I hate this whole thing that you can't be a Rangers fan and an Islanders fan and a Mets fan and a Jets fan. You can. If you're not from here, you're allowed to. Right? And I love that it's not that pettiness.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. I'm glad
you've come in from another town. Like,
right,
you can't.
Right. Yes. I'm glad that it's not the pettiness amongst. And maybe, just maybe, because the Mets are there at the Rangers game, which traditionally Rangers and Giants go together and Islanders and Jets go together, that maybe now, like, you can cheer. Like, it's okay for – we're at the point now where we haven't won a championship in I don't know how long. We don't just want to get
made
a mockery of.
It's been 10 years.
Right. So – At this point, listen, I'll take anything, right? I don't care what it is. I just want people to start looking at New York as title town again. And like I said before, I smell the wind shifting, right? I smell it shifting, right? Yeah. We're starting to get the Giants getting their stuff together. The Jets are getting their act together.
Yep.
The Nets will get their act together, right? I believe that the Mets and Yankees, listen, we supposed to not have, when you have two of everything, we ain't supposed to get a break from being happy. Somebody's supposed to be celebrating. Now, it don't have to particularly be your fan base, but somebody in New York should always be celebrating.
It's a great
because
point.
Somebody should be playing well. If it's not one side, it should be the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It is amazing to think.
The city's just better. It's just better for radio for us.
You got two of everything in this market, and you can't have any sustained success. That's why all these other markets laugh. That's why Boston laughs at New York, right? That's why you get – even L.A. L.A. laughing at you. You know, all the other major markets are saying, like, how do you guys not get it right for 10 years?
10 years to 18.
So the Rangers advance. So they're now in the second round. And they'll play the Carolina Hurricanes, man. That's not an easy series. I mean, the Hurricanes are a tough team, but that'll be fine. It's just, look, to see the team advance, to get to the second round, to come back from down 3-1, all that stuff.
And what I love
is great.
What
we
I love
will get
is,
to the hockey.
Okay, what I love is that you hated on Kreider. And not the game six, he's the one that was the hero.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, you know what he became? He was looking like Julius Randle from last year's playoffs, and then he did not. And then he all of a sudden turned it around and emerged, and that's, again, people were comparing. They were down 3-1. It's like, oh, Rangers just like the Knicks last year. No, they were not. Changed it up completely. But I'll tell you what, though. You know what narrative stayed the same? We'll go to the NBA side of things. Yeah, we'll get to the hockey. I promise we will, because we got some calls to play for you. That you're going to love, and just the passion behind it. We certainly want to hear your calls as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because so much to get to off of a really emotional, fired-up weekend. But let's get to Straight Talk, by the way, Straight Talk Wireless, because, Bart, one narrative that stayed the same is that Chris Paul cannot win a championship. That Chris Paul, it's the fifth time in his career that he was on a team that blew a 2-0 lead in a best-of-seven series. When you're up 2-0, you're feeling like you have command of the series. And five times, no one's done it four times. He's done it five times in his career.
Yeah.
That his teams just cannot sustain it. And I'll tell you what. I know there was a lot. Patrick Beverly was on Get Up this morning. He was on First Take. He was on KJM. He was making the rounds at Seaport. And P-Bev, who you know, I love the guy as a player. I'd want him to be on my team. I've always wanted him to play in New York. I think he'd have been a legend as a Knick player just because of the way he plays, that old school mentality. But he spent a lot of time taking shots at Chris Paul and pointing out all of the issues with Chris Paul, including the fact that, you know, a lot of people look at him as a bit of an operator, a politician, that he gets away with a lot of things because of who he is and all that stuff. And maybe part of that is true. But I think the bigger story out of this series, Bart, is that if I'm Devin Booker, right now, my cubes are in Luka Doncic's jar on his mantle. Because you talked all that trash. He was fourth in the voting in the MVP.
Poked
fourth
the bear, man.
In the voting. And after game five, what's he saying, right? Right, like you know, the Lucas special where he's faking the injury, laying down, where he's patting the ball out of his hand, just trash talking all that stuff. And what did Luka do since then? 34 points a game, right? 10 rebounds, 7 assists.
You know what,
like,
he said?
He just dominates the next two games, and in your building, mm-hmm. outscores your entire team at the half, 27-27. Like, Devin Booker, you've got a lot that you've got to deal with this offseason, but this doesn't go away easy. That's a stain that he's got to wear for a while. A kid, a young star from his generation, mm-hmm. dominated him the way
he told Devin Booker, hold my bricks.
Yeah, right?
Because, and listen, everything that was said becomes clips. We clipped that. And just because you said yesterday don't mean that we're not going to bring it back today. That he was trying to say, and Luka walks, he said, everybody hype, why they up? Like, listen, but you know, when you lose, Michael, remember what Michael Jordan said in the Last Dance? Anybody can be confident when they up. They front runners. Yep. I want to see you talk that same trash when you down. And Luka was talking that same trash when he was down. We've known for a couple of years, ever since he dominated two of the best defensive wings in basketball history, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. He had them on a string, and they got out of there, out of that series by the grace of God, right? And the fact – so we know that he's able to do this. What we didn't know is that he would do it so well that he would inspire a guy like Dinwiddie to step up and turn the clock around. And listen, this Dallas team is only going to get better, right? Because they're going to go out and they're going to replace add some more pieces to it, right? If they get a guy like what's the French, Parlez-vous Francais in Utah?
Oh, Rudy Gobert.
If they get a guy like Rudy Gobert, rim protector like that, man, they're going to be a team that's listen, he's 24 years
just give,
old.
Just give Luka
he's
two, more.
He's 24
more
years
shooting.
Old. He's,
yeah,
24,
no,
he's 24 years old.
It's crazy.
And we talked about him a couple years ago about arguably pushing to be one of the best players of this generation. Maybe one of the guys that say, I got next once LeBron leaves. And at 24, he didn't disappoint.
He's taking that claim.
And listen, Jason Kidd, masterful job. Just the one time when they had him, he's calling out the defense. You talk about an active guy,
yep.
pretty much still being the point guard.
Yep.
Still being the maestro,
so
just
true.
From the sidelines. Saying, no, stay. Go. You stay. Go. He's like, that's like playing with six. I would have called a timeout, ref. He's cheap. Tell him to sit his ass down. And it was crazy how, like, they had it flipped where the defense would be in front of their bench, which was kind of opposite
that
world.
That was very smart.
Right? That was very smart. That was crazy, right? So he's calling out and seeing it for him. And listen, to go to Chris Paul, our original point of what we want to talk about, Chris Paul cannot be your second best player on any team.
He's 37 years
old. And he's small. That's always been an issue. Listen,
let me jump in with this.
See, there you go. Go. Come say the day, Captain.
Why I want to jump in is very simple. It's because a lot of the blame is going to go on Chris Paul. A lot of it is earned, especially, you know, the some of the flopping things he was trying to do and get away with.
Yep.
He wasn't. And then messing around a lot of times, goofing a little bit. And you know what? It comes back to bite you, all that stuff. But I will say, you said it, and you said it perfectly. When you brought up Jason Kidd and that clip, we heard him just calling out defense and everything. And I thought when you were talking about Luka and how he needs another star, he's got another star. His other star is his coach. Jason Kidd coached circles around Monty Williams in this series, and Monty didn't do anything to help his players. And that includes Chris Paul, because how the hell do you just keep letting them switch onto your small guys and let Luka just eat against little guys, which, you know, he's too big, he's too strong, and he's too good of a shooter for you to do that. He'll shoot right over you. So Monty Williams is another guy that has a lot of, you know, reflecting to do on this series and what went wrong. But let me just take us back, and we'll do the straight talk by Straight Talk Wireless. Take us back to what you were saying about the trash talking and Luka and how he almost seemed to feed off of it. And so the Game 7 win, he talked about what it meant to him after all the talk in this series.
For me, it seemed like trash talking. It gets me going. It's It's another motivational stuff. It gets us going, and everybody was talking about it even before the game won. You know, nobody picked us, so it was motivational for us.
Hmm.
Yeah, man.
Straight talk by Shut Dog Wireless, no contract, and this no team, compromise.
This team became a team.
He's ice cold.
When Jason Kidd said, hey, we're going to be better defensively. Forget all this offense. We need to be a better defensive team. Luka, yep. Listen, we understand that you're not a defensive star, but you got to give us effort. Give us a second or two to come and save you to kind of help you with our rotations and our defensive philosophies. And listen, Luka's giving him the effort. And listen, you look at that body, it looked like he'd been eating the ketone, you know, he in ketosis. Because listen, he is half the person. He's lost at least 15 to 20 pounds
he's worked
during the season.
Yep, he has. He's worked on his body, which he knew he had to get into better shape.
During the season, that's hard to do.
I agree. But early on when he told you, because he was playing through the Olympics and all that stuff, trying to drag Slovenia, and he just said he took some time off and maybe it was too much time. You also give the Mavs credit, too. Because they basically just got rid of Kristaps Porzingis. Dumped him. Because
Luka
needed
player.
The ball in his hand. And Dinwiddie ended up being a perfect a piece to this team because he can score off the bench. 30 points off the bench in a game 7, the second highest in NBA history off the bench. So he had a great play. Jalen Brunson just making himself more and more money how well he's played. It was a good team effort.
He'll never be
and it starts
now.
With Luka. It starts with the coach. But there's a lot to talk about in Phoenix about where they go from here, and I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say it one more time. Devin Booker, who I've been a fan of, you can't let a guy in your generation come into your building and do what Luka just did to you, and you had nothing to show for it. First quarter, he is just dropping buckets and talking trash to your fans,
you know,
and you had nothing, no response at all. That's a problem. Now, we had another game, of course, yesterday. And that game was a little more competitive, at least for a little while.
Right. It was
but
right there.
In Boston, it still ends up being a big win for the Celtics and one more pelt on the wall for Jason Tatum. We'll get into that after Bart has this from O'Reilly.
If you got a weak battery like Chris Paul, it could leave you stranded. So don't take that chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and your budget. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Celtics final call.
And we'll have a new NBA champion this summer. The final score at the Garden in Boston. Celtics 109, the Milwaukee Bucks 81. The Celtics advance here after a 7-game series to meet the Miami Heat on Tuesday night, game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final.
And here we go. So we're set up now in the conference finals. Celtics and the Heat, old friends, old rivals, meeting again in the conference finals. And because of a performance, which I will boil it down to this, Bart. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Bart, I will boil it down like this. It's an old adage in the sport. You live and you die by the three. Well, the Celtics lived by it, and the Bucks died by it. The numbers tell you. The Bucks were 4 for 33 from three-point range. They were 1 for 23 after the first quarter. They made 1 3. That's all they could do. 1 3. Meanwhile, Grant Williams was 7 of 18. And the Celtics were 22 of 55. 55 out of their 88 shots were threes. Legit, this is as prototypical living and dying by the three as you could ever explain it. That's what went down here, and that's why Boston's moving on.
I mean, hats off to Giannis. I mean, he put together one of the most historic postseasons that we've ever seen. Not since Jerry West won the MVP in a losing battle. You know, have we seen a performance by a losing player where you could say, man, he was the MVP of this because he was carrying this team. And I think the fact that they didn't have Chris Middleton to, one, space the floor, two, be able to give you that three-point shooting, but three, to be able to be one of those wing defenders. He's a plus defender, and just Giannis just ran out. They're out there with Brook Lopez switching, trying to, you know, doing his best he can in space, but, you know, he's not going to close out to Grant Williams like that, right? So they created open space.
Terrible matchup.
These were open threes, but then Brook Lopez was giving you so much on the offensive side and offensive rebounding
but
and putbacks.
Yeah.
Right, and I feel like they got away from that. You know, they got to that ISO ball again, give Giannis the ball, everybody move out the way, and Drew Holiday was taking some bad shots. I thought they should have just went through the post through Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez is not a sexy thing, but he always had the mismatch, right? Especially if you give the ball to Giannis and you can skip the ball over the top to Lopez. I thought that was the best way that they can do it.
But especially when they're playing small. They didn't have Robert Williams, really. He was available, but they didn't really use him a lot. I mean, you know, Tice is much smaller than Lopez. It might not have been a bad strategy, but I'll tell
you. I mean,
Budenholzer really did seem to lock up a little bit in that game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could see that.
That we saw last year, right?
It's true.
And Udoka kind of ran circles around him, right? And listen, you talk about, you know, Jason Tatum, and we talk about Devin Booker, right? Two of the most underappreciated players in the game. One showed up, one didn't. And so now, you know, Devin Booker may not have the opportunity. And what's the number one seed? That's a totally big thing, too.
64 win team, man. I mean, you get smoked like that. I can't get over the Suns.
We've seen that happen before, right? So now Jason Tatum continues his pursuit to get a place at the table.
Next up, the
Heat
defense.
To do that, he got to go through somebody that's defensive as they are. Maybe not as long. I feel like Boston may be the bigger team. The longer team.
Yes.
Because Jimmy Buckets isn't that tall. Look at Jason Tatum. He's 6'10".
Adebayo is
6'9". He's their center. And he's not as big physically as a guy like Williams. I always get the Williams mixed up. You got Grant. Grant look like
Grant is more like built like you.
Yeah.
Williams
is the Peckzilla. He got Peckzilla, right? But they're both bigger.
Yeah.
And then you throw Al Horford on there. Al Horford is pretty much their version of Bam Adebayo. Right, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know. But at the end of the day, you have to give credit, or you have to give the coaching advantage to Spoelstra, because he's one of the best defensive coaches, but not just best defense coach, one of the best coaches in the league right now.
Certainly there, but
everybody glows about how great of a coach he is, right? So it's going to be important, and we'll see this time if you know home court advantage matters, right? Because
home court obviously didn't
matter in the previous series; it didn't matter.
But TD Garden is one of those special places that just sounds different when it's rocking.
It's new. It's TD Garden.
It's not that new. It's been around since the 90s. It's not that new.
But
that place it has a different, like I said, Madison Square Garden has a different sound. It's a roar. It's something different. We heard it last night when the Rangers were making their comeback.
That chant afterwards was epic.
Oh, you love that, right? The song. So the TD is the same way. I think in Chicago, United Center, it's the same way. Like, there's just certain buildings that just sound different, and that is the difference when you play in Boston. In fact, that's something that even the Bucks were pointing out too. Is it just that there's something about that building, and it's loud? But the performance, of course, for Tatum was just efficient. 23 points on 7 of 14, 5 of 9 from 3. He didn't have to go for 30 or 40 in this game. He did it in game 6. He got them to game 7. And then when you're home, what we always say, the role players play better. Well, that was Grant Williams. He played better. He shot the ball. He was the open man, and he knocked down the shots. And that's how they got this thing done. But this was still a fantastic series and a lot of fun of a series. It's just the problem was, second half, it got away so quick that it was over, like in a blink. Grayson Allen just disappeared.
Oh, solid.
And this shows you, too, in this Game 7, I thought Chris Middleton would be back for a Game 6 or a Game 7.
Yeah.
The fact that he wasn't available to them later in the series, especially in Game 6 and 7, that's when you really felt it. You felt his absence in those two games more than ever, because the Bucks couldn't find anyone else other than Giannis to get anything going offensively consistently.
And let's see, like, this is the first time, too, where I thought, you know, them not retaining P.J. Tucker really hurt them, because they needed good physical wing defenders. They didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how it happens as far as roster construction next year. I think Milwaukee is fine. I think they can feel good about where they are as an organization.
Well, they got a ring, of course.
I'm saying they have to stay healthy. Where everybody else is trying to make tweaks and add additions, I think that, you know, Milwaukee's like, we would have got them with Chris Middleton. If we were able to drag them to 7 like this with Chris Middleton, his war is at least worth one.
If you get Chris Middleton healthy, I mean, the Bucks are still going to be a contender next year. I don't think anything changes.
This was more about Boston.
This to me was more about Jason Tatum and the Celtics and the emergence of him as a star and them as that legit team, and Ime Udoka and the move they made in this offseason when they kicked Brad Stevens upstairs and they gave Ime the job.
Great executive.
And it really just has turned into, at midway point of the season, all of a sudden it clicked. Remember, early in the season, it was, oh, should they split up Tatum and Brown? It's not working. Maybe they should split them up. No, they had to work through it. They had to figure it out, and they did. This is more about that. Let's grab a couple of calls here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott talking NBA playoffs. Mark is in Pennsylvania. What's up, Mark?
Hey, first of all, I love you guys. I really enjoy listening to you every day. And I'm 54 years old. I'm a lifelong Celtics fan. I go back to the glory days of the 80s.
Ah, that hurts.
I have not been this excited about a Celtics team since back then. Am I out of my mind? Who's going to step up? If I'm the Heat, I think it's going to go six or seven games. But if I'm the Heat, I want no part of this team. Is it going to be Smart? Is it going to be Brown? Is it going to be Tatum? Who the heck is it going to be tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I'm the Heat, I want every bit of this team because they are exactly, I think the Heat want this kind of challenge. They love this kind of thing. And speaking of P.J. Tucker, he's there now. This series should be a lot of fun. But, yeah, Mark, you should be excited about this because of their age.
Yeah.
They're young. Everybody's under contract. There's nothing to worry about. Even Marcus Smart was taken care of, and he's a heart and soul player. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they have figured it out, and they are now a great duo. They brought people back that understand the culture there. They have a terrific coach. They have everything you could possibly want for a team that should be there year in and year out. Now, of course, the next thing is, can they win a championship? But before we go, Bart, I do want to read, and Mark should hear this too, because if you were a fan of those teams, Celtic teams from the 80s, there's a tweet that I could not leave alone yesterday, and I want everybody to respond. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hahn on Twitter. Mo Williams, remember him? Terrific NBA player, right?
Yeah.
He's now coaching. He put out a tweet that said, again, I'm going to ask y'all, so Luka is not better than Bird? I asked this question January. Luka better than Bird?
That's tough to say,
I
bro.
I mean, like, can we...
Listen, see, that's somebody trying to be early to the party, right? That's projecting what we think Luka's going
to
be.
Listen,
Bird did it with Hall of Famers all around him. Mikal, Parrish, Dennis Johnson, you know, Danny Ainge. And those aren't Hall of Famers, but we know Mikal is.
I'll tell you what.
That was a real big three.
I had a response to this tweet that I want to get to. And we also got to get to some more of your calls on this, on the games yesterday. More stories in sports and also outside of sports that we felt were more competitive and interesting than the blowout in Phoenix. So we got a lot to get to, including my response to Mo Williams. Coming up next, it's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
Ooh.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. I mean, we spent the whole break talking. That's how exciting this whole weekend was. Saturday, you got three game sevens in the NHL for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you get good games. Let's just go over a couple of quick ones here. So Carolina beats Boston, and that series was nuts. The end of that game was crazy. 3-2, Carolina gets the win, so they win it. The home teams dominated that series. Boston was so good in their building, but could not win on the road. Carolina's a tough team. They'll play the Rangers now in the second round, but wild ending. Then how about the Lightning beating the Maple Leafs? Lightning, a two-time defending Stanley Cup champs.
Maple Leafs just can't get right, man.
Ever. Are they the Cowboys, the Knicks? Like, that's who they are, right? Aren't they that? Like, the Maple Leafs, the Cowboys, the Knicks, like, the best fan base, so much passion. When their team's good, they are just insufferable to deal with because it's just like they win one game and everybody goes nuts. But yet they never just they haven't gotten out of the first round since 2004. Think about that. 2004.
Damn.
They got fans in their 20s who were like, you know, seriously, like 2 years old the last time they got out of the first round.
Are they
so
the Eagles?
Painful for me.
Are they 76ers like?
Like I said, I'm going, they're like, because they have such a huge fan base, big market, big money franchise, same as the Dallas Cowboys, right? Same as the New York Knicks. Just cannot, you know, can't get it right. And then the other game was the Edmonton Oilers. They shut out the Kings. So they advance. And the reason why it's significant, because in the Calgary Flames win Sunday night in overtime. and they beat Dallas. And Dallas had two teams. I think about it. Two game sevens on the same day. The Mavericks get the win. The Stars get the loss. But a Calgary Edmonton, as I said, Flames Oilers, old school, just nasty rivalry. If you're not that much into hockey, but you love like a good, hard fought rivalry, this is your series. You watch this. And then, of course, the epic, you saw it, Bart, the Rangers comeback win one more time against Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in overtime at Madison Square Garden. The place was just lit up. Yeah. Unbelievable atmosphere in the building. The Rangers trailed 2-0 in this game and just never stopped and just kept pushing, and they get the win. Panarin, who they call the bread man, delivers with just a seeing eye shot, which is just an amazing shot. And then you had Zibanejad, who had the game-tying goal late, about 6 minutes to go. The big players had to come up big, and they certainly did. So that all happened there. But on the other side of it, of course, we had blowouts in the NBA on Sunday, including Boston blowing out the Bucks in Game 7, 109-81. And then the Mavericks, as I mentioned, the one Dallas team that did win, the Mavericks, 123-90. And it wasn't even that close. This score was 46. They were down by 46 in the fourth quarter at home in a Game 7. 30 at the half.
And what I love is
brutal.
What I love is, you know, they showed that killer instinct because they at one no point let them cut it to 20, let them cut it down.
Oh, hell.
It was no 14-0 run, nothing like that. Like, listen, kid had them dialed in, and you can tell that they took this personal because even the backups came in and started attacking.
Yeah. All right. So I mentioned again, Luka just went. Luka had a phenomenal game, Game 7 again. This guy in elimination games. He's averaging over 35 a game.
Bert-like.
He had a 35.10 rebound game, set the tone early, 6-11 from three. I mean, he was a stone-cold killer. So Mo Williams, the former NBA player, is now coaching in college. He sent out a tweet that said, again, I'm going to ask y'all, so Luka not better than Bird? I asked this question January 3rd. So I kind of laughed. I responded. I said, let me see Luka do this while crushing a tall boy at halftime and puffing a lucky strike after the game as his quote-unquote recovery. Larry Bird played in a different era, man. Too many people remember Larry Bird on the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Where his back was all jacked up and he had a beer belly and he was kind of old.
I don't.
Looking like you got to remember the Larry Bird that stepped into the league at Luka's age and was giving everybody buckets and still ripping darts at halftime. Like, it was a different world what they did back then.
Yeah, you don't get the name Larry Legend. Like, this dude came in and, I mean, you talk about, he lost the first year to the Lakers, right? The first to Magic.
Well, No. He lost the Magic in the
in college, and then they went against each other in the playoffs, right? I want to say that's the way it went.
70-80.
No, it's right. That's because he played against the Sixers, right?
He played one more year, and then Bird got him, right. But yes, they faced each other a ton. They were great battles, great rivalries, all that stuff.
The 80s, it was either Lakers or Celtics, Lakers, championships Celtics. Until the Pistons got to the end of the century.
Yeah. But people just forget. Yeah. That's why this whole thing. Luka is a great player, but like, let him win a championship first.
Yeah.
Let him get an MVP first.
Yeah.
Before we start, Larry Bird is one of the great players to ever play the game. I get it. We're caught in this, wow, you really are amazed by Luka stepping into a place like Phoenix and just giving them buckets and doing what he was doing. Well, like, I couldn't. And I laugh because I'm like, it was a different time where Larry, like, they literally did, like, you just you know, to cool off, just let me just pop open this, you know, Schlitz.
Yeah, they come in, they be smoking cigarettes, and it's like, after they win a title.
Right, after the game, it's like, let me just calm down here. I need to recover. You know, let me just, you know, pass, light me up a lucky strike.
But that don't even matter. That don't even matter, though, because people forget how athletic. They just see Larry Bird think he was a three-point shooter. He would go to the bucket and yam on people.
Hell
at 6'10".
Yes.
He was going to the bucket. Listen, and unfortunately, I had a front row seat to this being a Pistons fan because the Pistons could never get past them, man. And
different
watching
game,
them in that Eastern
world.
Conference, people don't understand. Larry Legend is a legend, and Luka is not.
Luka will get there. Luka Legend
Dirk never touched. He got to catch Dirk first.
Luka Legend is being written right now, but I don't think it's time to compare him. Do you agree or disagree? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Sorry, at Barton Hunt as well. All right, we got your calls. We're going to get to those. Also, things more interesting than that Game 7 in Phoenix. Yeah. Also, by the way, a former quarterback, Bart, opening some eyes. Yes. Hinting to some things. We'll get to it. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hunt.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Two game sevens, two blowouts. One embarrassing. The one in Phoenix, down by 46 in your own building at one point. Down by 30 at the half. Luka had 27 at the half. The Suns had 27 at the half. Pathetic. And everybody's calling out Chris Paul today. I called out Devin Booker. But okay, let's call out Chris Paul then. But how about we also acknowledge what Luka Doncic has become? Sean is in D.C., wants to do that. Go ahead, Sean.
What's up, fellas? First of all, let's talk about the Luka situation. Luka, you can't be the best player on the floor when you got other people, other teams going at you. You got to be a two-way player. So my thing is, he's trying to knock on the door and get in there. Got Jason Tatum. But right now, I'm going to take Jimmy Butler if Jimmy I'm going Butler. To a party. I'm not going by myself. Jimmy going to bring his fellas with him and Jason Tatum, see if he can make them dudes come with him. But right now, it's got to be – I'm a Miami fan, but that guy that called about Boston, man, we're not worried about that. We're not running from that. We come with everybody to the party and see who show up on their side.
We'll see, Sean. I think it's going to be a fun series.
Did Sean say you have to be a two-way player to be the best player? Steph Curry was considered the best player for a while. He can't play defense. He can't stop a water from coming out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah.
Well, nobody can, but that's okay.
The Luka, this is going to be something we'll talk about a little bit later on the show, about 25 and under. I mean, I think isn't Luka number one on that list? Tatum's played great, but you'd take Tatum over Luka, would you?
And Luka's been doing this for a couple of years
now. I don't know. We shall see. Let's see. We go D in Queens. What's up, D?
What's going on? First of all, we got to stop comparing players just because they're both white. Luka's the evolution of Paul Pierce and James Harden, okay? And Jokic, they did that too. He's Arvydas Sabonis.
Yep.
Let's stop that first. Let's, you know what I'm saying? It's lazy.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it is.
First.
Yeah, I think Luka's closer to Paul Pierce. It's a great comp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Pierce, Harden, whatever. And Chris Paul, listen, you guys go do whole panels on James Harden where Chris Paul is the bigger choker in the playoffs. Bigger choker by far.
Knew this was
by
coming.
Far.
Hey, you know what? D, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Again, he's the only player to ever have five 2-0 leads in a series and lose all five series.
Couple of those was with James Harden, too.
and, you know, again, you talk about an absolute just, I mean, game seven, no show, painful, absolutely painful. All right, we got more of your calls coming up. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Hahn.
All right, Bart, what was more interesting over the weekend than watching the Suns just get boat raced in game seven on their own floor? I mean, it reached a point where I was like first compelled to watch because watching Luka in the lead, like, oh my God, they're going up by 30?
It almost never happens, right?
And then I just was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Like, I just was done.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it made it easier to switch over and watch Rangers Penguins. You?
Well, you know, I like to see I wasn't to see if somebody was going to like flagrant foul. And it's like
there'd be a fight. Yeah.
They didn't even have the presence of mind like to go out fighting or like.
Well, you know where they did fight?
Thrown out.
DeAndre Ayton got into it with Monty Williams and they didn't play the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? And listen, they have a decision to make on him. Like, this is the thing, right? This team, because Chris Paul, he already said, Chris Paul loves his money. He's like, I ain't retiring nothing, right? So he's going to be there. So you pretty much got the same team next year. And this was his best opportunity to win a championship because we know the Clippers are coming back. And you add Kawhi Leonard, that changes everything. Tyronn Lue is a great coach. Jamal Murray and Porter's coming back with the MVP, two-time MVP. That's going to change everything. Kuminga and Wiseman is only going to get, you know, older.
The Lakers going to be?
Who knows? I ain't worried about the Lakers.
No,
I'm just worried about the Lakers. I'm worried about if the Lakers are going to trade LeBron to Golden State. You know, whatever.
We'll see.
But you talk about now Luka. Like, I don't know what their salary cap situation is. But, you know, they're also playing without not a great player, but a player that they expect to contribute in Tim Hardaway Jr., right? But who's to say that they don't go out and get Andrew Bogut? Wouldn't you send Brunson?
Andrew Bogut.
Rudy Gobert,
yeah. No, I hear you.
I'll send Brunson and Tim Hardaway Jr. and some first-round draft picks for Rudy Gobert to Utah.
Yeah. What about sending Brunson in a sign and trade to the Knicks for Mitchell Robinson? Would you do that?
We don't get good things.
There were other things that went on this weekend. Did you see that the hapless Reds had a no hitter and still lost? Albert Pujols pitched.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, this
first
is things
time
that happened. Like these are rare things that have happened. A lunar eclipse happened last night. Did you see? It was unbelievable. It was so bright.
Oh, wow.
Went out around 10 o'clock Eastern last night. Went out and watched that.
Why didn't you call me, son?
Again, the Rangers in overtime winning at the Garden with an overtime goal, and then the Flames winning in overtime and the epic performance by the Stars goalie. Like there was so much better things happening. And then there was this, Bart. Drew Brees going to Twitter. Like
bye, Felicia.
You don't even want to hear about it, do you?
Bye, Felicia. Like,
So Drew Brees went to Twitter. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was literally during all the mayhem that was going on last night. And I remember I put it on the group chat, and I was just like, what is this guy doing?
Cautionary tale.
So he first talked about the players that were added to the Saints roster and said, like, this might get me to want to come back.
And we don't want you back. We don't want you back, Drew. How
because
about
of a New York Post story about how he's not likely to return to NBC after 1 year. He said, despite speculation from the media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all the above. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Two of them he may not have – he don't have a choice in. So you can say whatever you want, and it's cute. Listen, we watched this with Witten. Like, because people are great players, they don't know how to struggle.
He didn't look. He didn't look right.
They
on
don't.
TV
they, game, they,
right?
But the thing. Well, he got new hair for TV. You know what I mean? So he was playing the part, right? Because that was the greatest comeback.
But he never
in
looked
history,
comfortable. Like, you could just see some guys are good talkers, some guys, you know, they need a script.
But this is a cautionary. This is a cautionary tale, right? This is a cautionary tale because they just gave Tom Brady $37 million a year. This is a cautionary tale. And listen, the fact that you're willing to walk away, because we know in TV you don't sign a 1 year deal. No. So if they're getting rid of you, then they're getting rid of you and they're going to pay you to go away because they feel like, hey, they got to try and compete with what's going on with Joe Buck and what's going on with all the other moves that's been made in television. Amazon's, you know, making plays, right? So this is the thing, right? When you've been good or, you know, he had to fight his way to get in the league, but he's been on top for a long time. And a lot of times when guys get there, they can't handle taking criticism. And so, like, now,
but you're,
what he does,
you're
he goes
going
to a safe space.
Hang on a second. You're going all about the broadcast thing. How are you glazing over him wanting to come back? That's what got me. Let me just finish the story. Because Dennis Allen, who's the new Saints coach,
no chance.
He just kind of shot it down.
Of course.
He said that he thinks he was just messing with everybody.
They can't afford him.
He said
this
it was made
thing.
In jest.
This is the thing. Jason Witten went back to play football. Why? Because
he also
knew
he didn't have any conversations with him about it, too. Let me just put that out there. So it's not like any of these – at least that's what Dennis Allen is saying. No one has talked about him coming back. So him saying it just seems like he's just throwing it on the pile of things that he might do aside instead of NBC.
Right. So listen, when you look at Witten, what did he do? When he was getting criticized and made fun of, right, they're not used to taking that because they've never been the people who had to be criticized. Right. So now what did he do? He ran back to football. But this is the thing. Jason Witten still had value, and he still had a place to go to. The Saints are a better team without Drew Brees with the quarterbacks that they have, and they're a legitimate team to be able to go win the division. Like, with the moves they made, they may win the division moves if Jameis Winston is just half the player he was, you know, last year. You know, they won 9 games with nobody last year. So you add the players, Michael Thomas hurt. Coming back, Jarvis Landry, Olave, like, they got an opportunity. So Drew Brees may have an opportunity to go back to Carolina, somebody who will pay anybody. Hell, you'll pay Cam Newton, you'll pay him. But he's doing that because he can't handle the criticism. And he should stand up like a man and fight through whatever he's going through in NBC and just work his ass off.
All right, well, we'll continue with this story, of course. Dive deeper into how the Mavs took down the Suns and also who are the top 5 players 25 and under in the NBA. We'll discuss all that next.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.